Kicking off hour number two of the program here, it's Three and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville. It's AM 1340, FM 101.5, and of course, online, streaming at foxsportsknoxville.com and on the WKGN app. It's powered by Hops and Hollers, a Tennessee bar doing Tennessee things. And if you're listening to the podcast, we appreciate you there. The WKGN app, go ahead and download that and get right to the podcast quickly through the app as well. And of course, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes if you like podcasts coming right to your iTunes platform. We're huge on iTunes, leading the market.
It's really not even close.
No.
So if you're one of those iTunes subscribers listening right now, shouts out. And if you're not, maybe you should be.
Even if you
listen live, just go ahead and subscribe up.
There you go. If you miss
something,
help
us continue to grow. We got some ideas for you folks.
Yep.
Out there, by the way. We got some things brewing. We're not just resting on our laurels here at Fox Sports Knoxville. We got some plans. We got some things, some ideas.
We're not going to settle for 9 wins.
No. This was our year 2. We made great strides, but now it's time to swing the bat, if you know what I mean. Year 3, we're coming. Really, this is our first full year with the full roster, though. We had to recruit a little bit.
You got to rebuild the roster.
Yeah, the roster was there was no roster.
No, there wasn't.
Frankly, it was an empty building. So,
yeah.
New roster.
Right.
Couple 5-star hires.
5-star hired over here. Dave, you're a 6-star.
Thank you, Houston.
A 6-star alpha radio producer, without question.
I love how on Twitter I'm reading a completely independent writer as you're saying that, I read the phrase, Cumulus Media continues to run their Knoxville radio stations into the ground.
I saw that.
Let's save that for
I
later.
I saw that as we, yeah, maybe favorite that one, and we'll go back and read it during the break. Yeah.
That's, holy moly.
It is what it is,
I mean,
man.
That's like a media person. That's not like some listener
saying,
state run. I mean, that's not.
That's an article that is going to, I imagine, chronicle the downfall of Cumulus Radio in this market, which is, look, I got nothing against the people over there, but
I like a lot of the people.
Yeah, good. That's a better way to put it than what I said. I like a lot of the people over there, but we got a job to do over here. We're gonna keep doing that, and our
Travis,
our baller listeners are helping us do it.
They're whooping ass. They're doing it for us. You guys are making it happen. Travis Cabbage said he'd have to run the analytics and consult with his chart to make that call. I think that was back on the resignation
call.
Yeah,
that was how.
Or is he going to go down with the ship?
He'd have to do a 10-year study on how coaches resigned or accepted the memo of termination. Tim Wilson wants to know if we would call the iTunes domination a championship. We'll call it a division title. It's a title. It's not a championship.
We're tops in the market, but we're not. We haven't hit number one even in our category. I mean, we hit number 8. That was our high water mark.
Eight.
Out of all of college sports, which is
pretty good,
pretty damn good, and about 180 spots higher than
anyone else.
You know,
and number one's on this platform as well.
Yeah. Number one was Outkick the Coverage. You can listen to Clay Travis here from 1 to 3 this afternoon.
Just taking over the world.
Yeah. So we had 2 of the top 8 technically on our airwaves here. Chuck says, I don't think the silence from Curry is confusing. I think he is sitting back, assessing, and planning. Well, we're all hoping.
Like that's
so.
The thing. Like I mean. We hope that's what he's doing. I hope that's actually what he's doing. Like,
I'm sure he's doing that. I just don't know how he's assessing. I don't know what he's thinking.
I guess
what's
that's
he,
fair.
What's he planning?
That's like a very comfortable phrase. Like, oh, he's just, you know, he's just waiting in the weeds and doing his homework and this and that. It's like, yeah, but like, what's he studying? What's he doing? So I don't know. I mean, I don't think John Curry is an idiot. Although, I mean, we'll see. I don't think he's an idiot. I just hope that he's the right guy. Because this is, listen, we don't need to do this show again, but this is a very important time for Tennessee football. Like, you haven't been this close to being good, like really good, in a long time. Like, the next coach doesn't have 2 or 3 years before they could possibly have a really good season. the next coach comes in with a pretty good roster, leadership around him, you know, all the facilities, all the things that you would need. The next coach is going to come in, and this is a pretty good situation, but it has to be the right guy. So if they can, if he can go get the right guy, this will be, this is, I mean, this could be fun for the next 10 years. A lot of fun. But if they don't, as Philly said yesterday, like you've already started to lose a generation of fans. If the next guy is uninspiring, you know, not good, mediocre, and we have to do this whole 4-year cycle again, then, you know, you might have just killed Tennessee football. Like, and people say that, like, oh, you're overreacting. So I don't know. Like, Tennessee hasn't been good in 20 years. You won the East last 10 years ago. I look at a school like Nebraska, like, you can't turn into Nebraska. Like, I don't know if the Tennessee fans would ever really settle for being Nebraska. Maybe. I don't know. I just think if you're not building towards a championship-caliber football team, what's the point?
Nebraska might be pretty soon good again. Or good soon again. Gosh. Oh.
No, that was pretty soon good again. You got to insert the comma.
Chris said 5 years, 3 different offensive coordinators. That sums up failure, especially when it's your side of the ball that you're supposed to be your special. And then Jordan Moore wants to know, Houston, what do we think about VolQuest name-dropping Mike Bobo as a potential candidate to replace Butch Jones?
I refuse to answer that question because I don't even want to think about the possibility of Mike Bobo being the head coach at the University of Tennessee.
I didn't know Mike Bobo was still a thing.
I didn't either, frankly. Where is he now?
I have no idea.
Like, is this really what's going to happen again? Are we really going to fall to the, like, are we going to fall so far that we're going to fall once again to the guys that we didn't even know were looking for a job? Like, do you remember how it felt when Butch Jones' name was called? When it was announced that Butch Jones has been hired?
Who?
That was a bad feeling. Especially, I mean, Tennessee went from Gruden to Butch Jones in like 2 days.
Mike Bobo is the current coach at Colorado State. He followed Jim McElwain.
Didn't he just score like 23 against Bama? We can't do that. Maybe I'm in on Mike Bobo. All of a sudden, I'm in. What's his record right now? Do we know?
19-14 lifetime.
What's his record this year? Scroll down further. Scroll down.
This year, he is 5-2, undefeated in the conference.
5-2, one of those losses to Bama? Okay. Nah.
He went 7-6 in his first two seasons at Colorado State. Lost both bowl games. If that matters to you. 5-2, 3-0. Right now, I mean, this is the same guy that Georgia fans hated for all those years, though. They complained about.
He's Butch Jones. I'm out.
I mean,
no.
This would be like Georgia hiring Randy Sanders to be their head coach. I'm not even kidding. That's the perfect comparison. It would be like Georgia hiring Randy Sanders to be their head coach.
No.
Would they ever do that?
No.
No way in hell.
Nope. That's what I'm saying, man. Like, we just can't. We can't do that. Like, I'm not gonna do. I refuse to do the whole thing. You have to go get a proven winner, and if you fall so far to where you can't get one of these like top 10 names, you better go get a guy who has just repeatedly won and won and won and won and won at a mid major.
You go get the Satterfield cat or someone like that.
Go get Satterfield. I'm not kidding, man. Like, Brohm at Purdue, I know he's been there 1 year. You could get him right now if you offered him the right money. You could go get him. You'd go steal him from Purdue, and you would have Jeff Brohm, and he would be infinitely better than Butch Jones. Like, I think it was Popcorn who said it on Twitter the other night. Like, Jeff Brohm is the floor. Like, you cannot go lower than Jeff Brohm if you're Tennessee. You cannot. You can't go Mike Bobo hunting. No, you can't do that.
No.
Go get a guy who's proven he can win championship and make sure he is an expert on one side of the ball or the other. That was a huge problem with Dooley. That's a huge problem with Butch Jones. They are not offensive or defensive minds. They just claim to be the CEO, which means I don't know what I'm doing. Because if you don't know one side of the ball or the other, how can you manage? You overmanage, and that's what Butch Jones has done. That's what Derek Dooley did. He overmanaged people. He micromanaged people. You got to get a guy in who says, listen, I need the best defensive coordinator in the country because I'm going to be over here coaching the offense. We're going to try to score 50 points a game, but I need a defensive coordinator who I don't have to worry about, who can get the job done on Saturday. I'm going to leave you alone. Or you need to be a guy like Kirby Smart, who says, I'm going to be over here focusing on defense. I'll give you what I think we should be on offense. Put it together. Kirby Smart, after 1 year, told Jim Chaney, look, we're going to run the ball 35 times a game. That's your job. Figure out how we can run the ball 35 times a game and set up play action. I'm going to go work on the defense. Figure it out. Jim Chaney figured it out. I don't want some guy who's like, well, we got an intricate system over here, and then over here. No.
Yeah.
No. We're gonna simplify it. Give me an expert on one side of the ball.
Hell, I even watch Muschamp go coach the defense during an entire South Carolina offensive possession because he doesn't care. He doesn't care about the offense.
No, that's not his thing. That's not his thing. He might go out there and look at, like, oh, well, there's the line of scrimmage, and we line, okay. Yeah, and then I'm going to go coach my linebackers, coach my secondary. Right. That's what Tennessee needs. Like Nick Saban, defensive guys. Specifically, he is a safeties and cornerbacks guy. But he has built the defensive system kind of around those, allowing other players to just tee off, and it works. Kirby Smart, defensive guy. And, boy, is it working great in year two at Georgia.
I'm starting to sell myself on Gary Patterson.
He's got a statue out front of TCU. He's not leaving TCU. They have a statue of the man.
Kansas State alumni.
If he would come, though, like that's a really good hire, right?
Yes.
Okay. Him and Butch Jones right now have the same salary. So, I mean, if you were to bump that up and offer some pretty good incentives. I don't know. Maybe he's looking for a scenery change.
I don't know. I feel like if they build the statue.
Aren't they still undefeated this year?
Yeah, like, they isn't are. He, and they're like top 10 in the nation.
He's thinking, I'm about to play for, you know, I'm trying to win a national championship.
This is what Butch Jones does to me, all right? You just got to reach. You just got to. Just.
Undefeated Gary Patterson leaves TCU after national championship to coach the Vols.
Yeah.
There were a lot of empty seats during that West Virginia.
No, it is. I mean, it's true, but his salary's good. Like, he doesn't care.
Yeah, he really
does. He's like, I've lived here forever. I love it. Fans don't show up, that's fine. It's less pressure on me. I'll just win football games. Who cares?
That's a good point. Let's go to the phone lines. Who we got, Davey? Josh? Is it Josh on the line?
Yeah.
Josh, you're up first today, buddy. You're on 3 and Out. What's up?
Hey, guys. First off, don't let VolQuest and State Run lower expectations here. Don't let them throw out Mike Bobo, and then you guys start talking about Scott Satterfield and Jeff Brohm. Because that's what's going to happen. I'm telling you, you guys are the only ones holding their feet to the fire around here. And a lot of people listen. And don't let them do it. The guy I want to talk about is James Franklin. Nobody seems to think he's possible. And all it is an assumption, man. He has a big game Saturday with Harbaugh. If he loses that game and maybe drops another one, we got a shot there. He's from Philly, man. He's not a Penn State guy. He's from the New Jersey side of Philly. He didn't go to Penn State. He spent 3 years at Vanderbilt, so he knows what Tennessee means to the people in this state. And I'm tired of settling for Scott Satterfields. We need to get serious down there. And James Franklin is a home run hire at Tennessee. And our fan base would absolutely eat him up. He's a jerk. He's a redneck. He's one of us, man. And if they don't go out and at least make an effort to get some of these big-time guys, we're going to get the same old crap we've been getting. And that's unacceptable, man, with what they got to work with over there. And the only people holding their feet to the fire are you guys. So don't let Brent Hubbs throw out these no-name coaches and lower your lower expectations because, you know, it's unacceptable to us. I've had enough of this garbage. But anyway, take care. See you guys.
Thanks for the call,
Josh.
He's got a point.
No, he's – Josh is exactly right on one hand. I don't know that James Franklin would come – but that is how you start a coaching search. You say you look at the board and you see.
Yeah.
You may disagree with Josh's complete take on James Franklin, that individual coach. But the philosophy that Josh is talking about is exactly what should be happening. James Franklin is the type of guy who might say, you know what, you pay me almost Nick Saban money, Tennessee, and you bet I'll be your jerk. I'll be your a-hole, Tennessee. I'll come down there because
he's been gone long enough now where people would be like, yeah, I like that guy.
He's a man, right? He's not going to get some Travis Haney article written about him about being thin-skinned. If things are going off the rails here with James Franklin, it's going to feel completely different. Like, he's going to come in swinging. He's going to come in, you know, just like, yeah, you went what last year? I don't care. That was the last guy. We're going to win right now.
He's like 9-4.
Who do I have?
I did that at Vanderbilt.
Who's
twice.
Still here? Is Garantano here? Where's Dormady? I could probably get some run out of it. Dormady left? Garantano? Jarrett, come here. Quit crying, Jarrett. Let's go. Let me show you how
Easy.
To read this defense.
Easy. No, I'm just He's an saying. Emotional guy.
I actually liked it. It was the best thing that's happened in the last few games. I'm just saying. Like, you'd have a guy that would come in and at least be thick-skinned.
I agree with that.
Have some testosterone, so to speak, and get this thing, like, start taking shots. If you, man, I went to.
Wouldn't James Franklin love to take Butch's job, too? Like,
dude.
Wouldn't he just eat that up to be like, yeah, hey, buddy, remember me? I owned you, and then I left. Well, I'm back, and I got your job.
I went to one of those Vanderbilt games in their stadium. I mean, that place is the most pathetic college football stadium in big-time football.
It's abysmal.
You go in there in an SEC game, right, and they're showing, like, crowd get loud, and they're trying to show, like, the crowd level rising on the Jumbotron like they do for real in big-time stadiums, but it's all fake. And he's doing the symbols and the – he convinced people to get fired up in that little bitty high school stadium. Like, with all the stuff you would have here at Tennessee, he'd be legit. He'd have a real weapons to wield out on the recruiting trail. And you see what he's doing at Penn State. I mean,
they're number two in the nation.
They overcame
almost having the death penalty, and now they are number two in the nation.
They were on scholarship reductions as Butch Jones was trying to build brick by brick here, and now they're number two in the country. And Tennessee is looking at not making a bowl game. Yeah.
You think we could keep Shoop? They like each other, right?
Probably not anymore.
No, I'm kidding, man.
Yeah, that would be one of the benefits. Hey, James, we'll come down here to Tennessee. We're going to fire Butch and Bob Shoop. Come on, buddy.
We'll get rid of both of them if you'll come.
I mean, I don't know if that's realistic, but Josh is right. That should be the philosophy. It should be who are the top coaches in college football that might actually take our phone call. And let's see.
I mean, look, James Franklin's agent's already floating that A&M is getting ready to offer him a lot of money to
at
come.
At least make Penn State pay more to keep him, right?
He just got an extension, and his annual salary is up to $5.8 million right now at Penn State.
8.5.
Is it really 5.8?
It's 5.8.
What's Saban make?
It's got to be like 9
gosh,
or 10.
It's so much.
It's not even
this
enough.
This year it's like 11.
Nick Saban doesn't even get paid enough based off what he brings back to Alabama football.
It's like 7,
he's
but
underpaid.
This year he gets like a $4 million bonus or something.
What if you told James Franklin he could make like $500,000 less than Nick Saban for his tenure?
It's like that's the deal.
Honestly, I think to get him you would have to say we will pay you more than Nick Saban's paid. Like I think that's what
they
it would
do
take
that, right?
Him.
That's a lot. That's a contract strategy. Yeah. Is this guy's the top of the market?
Yeah, but Nick Saban already has that.
You make a dollar more than him.
That's what Nick Saban's
his
contract is. So I don't know how so, the schools are leapfrogging each other. The administration's looking at each other like we are so dumb.
Every paycheck that each gets more money.
Yeah, dollar more than last time. Dollar more than last time. Is James Franklin the guy you break the bank for? Like, for real, though? Like,
I don't even know if that's the guy. I mean,
he wins everywhere he goes, man. Like, I will give him that. And boy,
How do we even get him?
It would be kind of. Josh called. Would be like some weird irony that Tennessee hires the former Vanderbilt coach. It would be odd. Like, that would feel weird. Like, we hired the former Vanderbilt coach and paid him so much money to be elite.
This started,
he's a good recruiter.
This started because we got a tweet that Volquez dropped Mike Bobo. I didn't even know Mike Bobo was still a coach.
What an
like,
awful
name. They hated
name.
Him at Georgia.
What an awful name.
Georgia fans hated Mike Bobo. He was the...
Hey,
he
Bobo.
So, really, like, diehard Georgia fans that were just willing to say anything kind of hated Mark Richt by the end. Georgia fans that just loved the fact that Mark Richt was such a good guy, they just directed their hate to Mike Bobo. Like, that's how they handled it. That's how they handled not having to go at good Christian man Mark Richt was, I'll just hate the offensive coordinator because this you know, pro-style offense doesn't score enough points and we can't win type of thing. Mike Bobo. That would be...
Makes me mad just thinking about
it. A train wreck. All right. Back to the phones. JBC Vol is on the horn. Let's bring him in. JBC could be an option. What's up, JBC Vol?
How we doing, guys?
Morning, buddy.
So I'm thinking we have got to make this move quickly. And here's my theory on the situation. You look at the West, there hasn't been an elite coach that has moved over there since Saban's been there, right? I mean, the LSU had to literally keep Orgeron.
Yes.
Home
they were
hire.
Talking big names. And you got to think, it's why would you go? Why would you move if you're an elite coach and compete with Saban? And in the East, you have an opportunity.
Oh, JBC.
Still there?
Oh, man.
Morning commute.
Yeah.
Gets him every time.
Bad area.
I'm trying to remember.
What was he going to say, Houston? What was he going to say?
He was probably thinking, like, in the East, you're not under the eight ball. Like, the only guy you got in there right now that's doing anything is Kirby Smart. Like, there's a chance. Like, this is the window that we've been talking about, Nate, for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years.
Getting slammed shut.
Like, you have a window. Tennessee had a window to plant its flag in the East and say, no. Right now, while Saban's in the West dominating, even though we have to play him every year, like, we are going to be the team in the East that goes to Atlanta. It's not going to be a rotating door. It's going to be Tennessee. The problem is Butch Jones wasn't that guy. The good news is the window still kind of open. Kirby Smart only in his, what, 1.5 year? If you go get the right guy with this roster, good recruiting class, some actual coaching, all of a sudden – you can compete with Georgia and probably, I don't know about next year, they're going to be pretty good again. Actually, no, don't they lose a bunch? Maybe you could compete with Georgia next year. They're going to lose Chubb and Michelle. Maybe you could go down to Athens and compete or win that game and can go to Atlanta in the first year of a new coach. It's possible, but you got to get the right guy. You've got to take it seriously. Like, you waited forever. You've got to – now's the time to take it seriously. Get serious about football, and you've got a chance to at least be the team in the East, and you set yourself up for when Saban's gone. If Saban's only got 3 or 4 years left, if you hire the right guy, the second he's gone, you've got 4 years of established coach at the helm.
Josh was right, though. You have to have that philosophy. You know, I mean, what we were saying is if you go after all the guys that are like James Franklin and for whatever reason you fail to get those guys – Then you better just swing for the fences and take a high upside guy. You can't take another safe, well, I hope we win 8 or 9 games type of guy.
You can't do that.
You can't. You just can't. I mean, better at that point to swing big and miss big and then just reset the whole damn thing. Because if you go for another Butch Jones, it's gonna reset the whole thing anyway. So what's the freaking point at that stage of the game? But I still contend that Tennessee is an elite fan base because of people like Josh and people that listen to this program and people that showed up to the game on Saturday. And all you have to do is sell that to a potential big name hire, one of them will take the job if you'll pay them enough and give them that type of support. A lot of times it's about, in those coaching hires, it's about support and control. And if you can identify the right person that you'll convince them that they'll have the support of, you can't have this fractured booster group where it was one guy's pick, but the other guy didn't want him. You gotta, as John Curry, you gotta say, look, we're gonna make sure that the boosters are behind you. I will sell that to the boosters, and you're gonna have control here and here, and I'm gonna get out of the way. It's just a recruiting pitch. This is just athletic director recruiting coaches instead of coaches recruiting players. It's a good enough job to get a high-level guy. Maybe it's not James Franklin, but a high-level guy. Welcome back to 3 and Out here, driven by Toyota Knoxville. Get some of your reaction on Twitter and the phone lines. Jordan wants to know our thoughts on Dan Mullen, and we can get to that in a second. Corey points out that Terry Fair coaches with Bobo at Colorado State. And Houston, who sent you the James Franklin iced the kicker?
Yep, Samuel Blevins. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. James Franklin iced Georgia State's kicker up 50-0 to preserve the shutout. He made it before he called the timeout, missed it when they came back out on the field. He got ripped by a lot of people for doing it, but Samuel Blevins says, no mercy. Let's go get the guy.
He did.
We're not going to blow a late lead. James, no, not up in here.
James Franklin did say it's because his second team punt block didn't line up right, but nah, who cares?
He said, well, I thought it was like his third team didn't have a kick block.
Oh, maybe that
or
was
something.
It.
I don't know if he actually subbed out, though.
I don't know.
Still, like, who cares? Like, you just need guys on the field. It doesn't matter. But I don't know. That's the kind of attention to detail that I kind of like. No, the guys out there didn't know what they were doing, and we're not gonna have a play where we're just goofing around out there. It's all serious. It's business. If this was a game against Michigan, I'd do the same thing the same way. It's just how it goes.
To the phone lines we go. Wes is up in the Mid-State. Wes, you're on 3 and Out.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Morning, buddy.
Yeah, I think, you know, the natives are certainly restless. You know, we got craziness on Vol Twitter. People mentioning things like Mike Bobo and Sarkisian. You got Russ getting triggered on afternoon radio and cutting people off and dumping them like he's working for 990 or something.
Yeah. He's been doing that stuff.
It's getting really bad. And I think what it is, you know, after that game this weekend, I think, you know, Vol fans are kind of like Warden Norton. You know, when he found Andy Dufresne wasn't in his cell. We want him fired now. Not tomorrow. Not after breakfast, now. Because what we see happening is some salvageability of this season, you know, maybe getting to a bowl, our hopes of getting to a bowl game, up and vanishing like a fart in the wind, like Andy Dufresne. You know? I mean, any more than you let this go into Kentucky, and our hopes of going to a bowl game cross the border at Fort Hancock, Texas, in the convertible. Did you guys read Nagy's article on Gridiron Now?
I have not had a chance to read it yet. No. Do you want to give us a synopsis, or what do you think?
Yeah, well, I had a chance to read it. Actually, ironically, I had a chance to read it as I'm trying to get to work on 65 in the HOV lane, and I got one of Nagy's damn T-Dot trucks. Doesn't have two people in the car, leaving 20 cars of car length in between them and the next car.
Well, that's just...
Going
that's...
10 miles under the... limit.
It's good business by Nagy, giving you time to read his articles on the fly. He's double dipping this morning.
It's all about taking the media to the reader, you know, Wes. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell is the point of having an HOV? I mean, why the hell am I carpooling with a guy who farts in the car when it's too damn cold to roll down the windows, who won't keep his trap shut so I can listen to 3 and Out? The whole point of that is so I can go faster, not get stuck with flying the T-Dot truck who won't go. Anyway, back to his article. He was basically saying that it's a good thing that Curry's being silent. He knows what he's doing. He's had experience. He's been at, there's a reason he was an athletic director at Kansas State for 10 years. And everybody just needs to calm down. He's just because we don't hear anything, he's working stuff behind the scenes. But my point is, you know, as I said, I think the longer you keep him in there without having an interim, I think, putting another coach in there, whether it's Larry Scott or Brady Hoke or the old battle captain, is good enough for at least two more wins. Because I think with this guy, you're looking at the first 8-loss season. I believe that. I don't think we win against Kentucky. I think we might win against Southern Miss. And I think Vanderbilt and Missouri is a toss-up. We're not sure as hell not going to beat the Raging Cajun down there. I'll hang up and listen. Have a good one, guys.
Hey, Wes, Wes, are you slugging? Yeah. To get the HOV lane?
What do you mean, am I slugging?
Like, the guy that's riding with you, do you just pick him up each morning as, like, a random person, or is this, like, a friend that's farting in your car when it's too cold to roll the windows down?
Oh, no, it's a friend. Yeah, we've been friends since middle school over in Knoxville.
Yeah, that's cute.
Yeah, he won't shut his pie hole.
Maybe you should kick him out and start picking up sluggers.
Yeah, I may have to do that. Do that, whatever that app is. Not Lyft, it's some other thing.
Waze.
Where you can pick... No, it's not Waze. There's some other thing where you can carpool with strangers, but I'm not about that.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Very safe.
Yeah. All right, guys. You have a good one.
You too, Wes.
Thanks for the call, Wes. No, I learned about this in D.C. Houston, there's people that just go line up at like a predetermined spot. Like they're in a line and their suits and their suitcases ready to just get in any car that pulls up so they can ride in the Hove lane. Because they've made the interstate now entirely Hove during rush hour. Slugging. Who knew?
Now you know.
Now you know. The more you know.
How about them Titans?
You took us on to sluggers, so you got to find you got to get us back to sports somehow.
Well, a lot of people probably don't understand the Mark Nagy thing. He works for TDOT, but then writes sports articles, so it's a confusing crossover, as I just showed and kind of butchered there. But that's why Wes is angry with being stuck in traffic, and then reading Mark Nagy's article. He's taking the like. The trust John Curry, silence is a good thing, he's working on it type of approach.
Right.
I guess that's fine. But you can't say it either way, though. That's
no,
the problem.
Like, you can say that, but why? Like,
you can't prove that, and you can't prove that he's going to make a bad decision because of the silence.
Like,
just silence.
I guess I agree that there's just nothing to do but wait and see, but that doesn't mean I have to trust that he's doing a good job.
Right.
I mean, has he done a good job to this point? Yes. Does that mean that football hires are the same as letting a baseball coach go? Absolutely not. No. I'm not going to give the guy a pass. This is a really big deal. You took the job to be Tennessee's AD. You're making $1 million a year. Like, put the pants on, man. Like, go do this. If he knocks it out of the park, I'll give him full credit for knocking it out of the park. And if he doesn't, I mean, he's on the hook now. I mean, I get it. He probably wanted to come back to Tennessee, have Butch Jones be here for a couple of years, and then make a decision when everything was just how he wanted it. But, man, you took the Tennessee job. You should have known better. That's not how things work around here. Expect the unexpected every single day. And the fact that you weren't ready to do something with Butch Jones is probably problematic, in my opinion. I mean, we'll see. I'm just saying, to this point, we'll know more about John Curry in the next 2 months. But back to Josh. Like, who would you get if you're Josh? James Franklin right now, ranked number 2 in the country. Is that realistic? I don't know. It's a lot of money.
Probably not.
Let's keep going down the list. Kirby Smart? No. Patterson? Probably not. What about Paul Christ at Wisconsin? No? In? Weird. I mean, people win at Wisconsin and then go other places and don't win, Brett Bielema. I don't know if I'm in on that. Obviously, Urban Meyer staying, Dabo staying, Mark Rick staying, Lincoln Riley staying, Gundy staying, Helton staying. Chris Peterson at Washington? Apparently he hates it there.
Really?
I've read some article that said he doesn't really like it.
Well, he obviously hates those late kickoffs. He went off on that the other day.
Hates the conference. Like, doesn't like the fact that his team keeps getting the garbage game.
He ranted on that, and then they go out and lose in a late night kickoff.
Bad look.
I'd take him right now.
I would take him right now so quick.
That whole Scientology thing, that was a whole myth. That's another Chris Peterson.
It was
Peterson. Fake. Fake news.
Good Christian man.
Maybe. Probably not.
We'll convert him.
Some type of man.
We'll get him in a church.
He's a man. I'm pretty sure he's a man.
Get him in a small group around here. Fans would love him. Brian Kelly, no thank you. Fuenta's 14 with Virginia Tech. Would you take Justin Fuenta? Is that big enough?
I see him as an up-and-comer.
I would take Fuenta. I love Fuenta.
Worth the roll.
Leach, 15, 6-1, Washington State. I love Mike Leach. I don't know that it works. I just don't know.
Did I mention on air what happened with Nebraska and Washington State's AD? Okay,
yes,
I couldn't remember if I said that.
He's
in the
not following him. At least that was the latest report by ESPN, at least not right now. I don't even know who North Carolina State's coach is.
Is that
I'm going down the top 25 right now for people who don't know what's going on. Is Scott Frost at South Florida? Or no, South Florida, that's Charlie Strong.
He's UCF, right?
Yeah, Central Florida is Scott Frost.
You go at Charlie Strong again. No.
You could get him away from South Florida now if you wanted to. I wouldn't go after him. No, you slapped me in the face once, I'm not coming back.
He couldn't handle Texas.
Mark D'Antonio? Or Mike D'Antonio? Mike? Is it Mike? Mike or Mark?
It's Mike, and
Mike
I don't
D'Antonio.
Think he fits here.
I don't think so either. Jim Harbaugh? You go after him? I'm kidding. Scott Frost? Was it Josh yesterday who said Malzahn? Who was it that said Malzahn? If Auburn fires Malzahn, do you go scoop him?
Guy.
Do you go scoop up Malzahn?
You could. You could do worse than Gus Malzahn.
You could do a lot worse. You could probably also do better. I don't know. Malzahn's intriguing. He's very interesting to me. If you went and got Malzahn and then went and got a baller defensive coordinator, And you made sure that Malzahn had the quarterback he needed every year. Like their offense scored 20 boom, boom, boom like that against LSU, and then they didn't adjust. So, you know, clearly there are some issues there. Malzahn's intriguing. With a good staff, Malzahn could probably win some games here. I don't know that I'd love the idea, but that's a pretty, you know, it's a good name coach. It's a guy who's got a national championship and another appearance. Not bad. more than we could say for any coach we've had around here since Fulmer. Shaw's not leaving Stanford. Holgorsen's not leaving West Virginia. Obviously,
Holgorsen would. I just don't know that.
You think so?
Oh yeah.
I thought no. He's a West Virginia guy. West Virginia's weird, man.
It's just not a. Yeah, but that's, I mean, still a step up to go to Tennessee.
All right. And then he'd have to play his old team first game. I don't know.
That'd be weird.
And then 25th in the country, your Memphis Tigers and Mike Norvell.
There you go.
I did pretty good on the coaches' names, only didn't know one of them. North Carolina State.
Is that a Riley? Or am I thinking of the Nebraska guy?
Gold star for me. Mm.
San Diego State, Texas A&M, Iowa State, Virginia. Who's at Virginia?
Bronco Mendenhall. He's got him turned around. He's doing really well.
It's year two, right?
Yeah, year two.
And they were
awful. What, 6-1 or 7-0 right now?
I don't know that they're. I don't remember. But people were pointing out how quickly he's turned around a dumpster fire there.
I'm sorry, they're 5-1. Actually, it might be 6-1 now. Let me count real quick.
Kentucky, Utah. We talked about Whittingham before.
5-1. They went to Boise and blew out Boise State, which is, I thought, pretty impressive. Their only loss so far on the season is Indiana. Mike DeBoer just killing folks out here. They beat Duke by a touchdown. They beat North Carolina by a touchdown. They'll beat Boston College. They'll beat Pitt. Could beat Georgia Tech. Excuse me. They closed the season with their big four games: Georgia Tech, Louisville, Miami, and Virginia Tech.
Mississippi State's next. We had a question on Twitter. Dan Mullen? Still like Dan Mullen?
It's a good question.
Jordan Moore asked that one.
So hard to really judge Dan Mullen because he's hit his head on the ceiling so many times at Mississippi State that you're not really sure. But they look really bad right now. They look good early. I told you Nick Fitzgerald would sneak up and beat somebody. They beat LSU. They beat them bad, and since then they've kind of come back down to earth. Actually, they're sub-level of the earth. They're deep, deep down in a bunker. They're pretty terrible the last few games. Georgia killed them. And then who was it that beat them pretty bad? Did Auburn already beat them? They haven't looked good since they beat LSU.
Yeah.
And LSU is going the opposite way. They continue to get better. I still think Dan Mullen's better than Butch Jones. I mean, he would be better here than Butch Jones. I don't know how much better.
Curtis says, Fuente, Butch beat his ass.
You would have people say that.
Yes, you would. I was wondering how you were gonna respond.
People would say that. That would be a lean on. But I would also argue that Joshua Dobbs beat Virginia Tech. That wasn't Butch Jones. That was Tennessee playmakers like Alvin Kamara, Juwan Jennings, Josh Dobbs making plays, and it was Virginia Tech coughing the football over five times or six times or whatever it was. I'm just saying I think Tennessee could do worse than Justin Fuente.
Second game for Virginia Tech?
Who what?
Fuente.
Yeah, that was his second game.
Yeah, they beat
I can't remember who they played in the first game. Someone not terrible but not great. If you said Houston, do you want Justin Fuente or Mike Bobo? I'm taking Fuente 20 times out of 20.
I had a texter say, why not go after one of the co-offensive coordinators? And I've seen both these guys on big boards kind of down the list at Clemson. At least they're people that have gone through a game plan and beaten Alabama.
Who are these guys? Do you know their names?
Jeff Scott is
okay,
one.
Okay, I've heard Jeff Scott.
That's Brad Scott's son that basically ran South Carolina to the ground. But anyway, Jeff Scott is one, and Tony Elliott is the other. I mean, they call the plays for Clemson. I don't know. It's a thought.
Robert Gillespie.
People talk about Venables.
I just got a great tweet.
Yeah?
Let's start the Chris Peterson train. Hip Triller just tweeted me. He says, saw this about Chris Peterson yesterday. Let the rumors begin. Coach Peterson just recently started following
Houston, I think this is where you're supposed to say the name, especially since, like, on the podcast, it was just like, you stop talking, and then there's this long break, and then we have, you know, like, me talking with music and stuff.
Well, I was excited going into the break, and then you guys like, ooh, you know what?
Well, I point out an obvious.
No.
But go ahead.
No.
Go ahead.
Chris Peterson's following Robert Gillespie as a recent follow on Twitter. Bum, bum, bum.
Chris Peterson, huh?
I think it's because he's, you know, hey, man, he probably sent him a DM. What's up with Butch?
Peterson
got
probably,
an opening.
He's probably listening to the show.
Float it.
We had a caller say the only guys I keep on staff are Hoke and Gillespie. So Peterson's followed up. Yeah.
If you can't give me Gruden or Kelly, I would have Peterson number one on that list any day of the week. I just didn't see it as a reasonable option.
No, it's not. It's probably not. I don't know. I don't know that any of these would be considered reasonable. They're all long shots, but you've got to take the long shot. You've got to start shooting from half court and hope one goes in. You just have to at this point.
I don't care if you get rejected 20 times.
I don't either. Publicly. In fact, like, damn, like, go get rejected publicly. Show me you're trying over there. Everyone's like, oh, we don't want to get embarrassed if Chip Kelly tells us no. I want to know that you tried. If Chip Kelly says no, at least then I can hate Chip Kelly for saying no. At least then people will be like, hey, man, no one wanted to come here. Go get a bunch of no's.
Yeah.
It's like sales. You're selling yourself. Hey, would you like to come to Tennessee? No? Okay. Chip Kelly said no. Fly the plane around Neyland that says it. Get the next guy. Chris Peterson said no. Fly the plane.
At least we'll know where we stand at that point.
We should do it like they do the Pope. Like every day.
The smoke.
Every week should be a new coach week, or maybe like every 3 days. It's like, oh, we're on to Chris Peterson now. We'll check Wednesday, see what color smoke they're flying. Oh, black smoke. On to the next guy. Boo, Chris Peterson, boo. Orange smoke. Who's this? Mike Bobo? We got what? Mike Bobo? Mike Bobo? I'm so out on Mike Bobo, which means he's going to be the coach. Like, here I am, October 17th, telling you I am so out on Mike Bobo, it hurts. He will be your next coach. I'm sure of it. Because I hate myself. Mike Bobo. If we couldn't get Mike Norvell over Bobo, I'm out. Why would I keep showing up if we couldn't get Norvell over Bobo? Come on. Mike Bobo? Brian Hunsucker tweeted in a second ago. He said, as a Memphian, between Fuente and Norvell, he would have good knowledge here, Fuente's floor is higher. Norvell has a higher ceiling than Fuente. It. Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting little take there.
Well, you might.
You're safer with Fuente, but boy, you could really bottom out under Norvell or win the whole thing.
Mike Bobo.
Mike Bobo. That's a name that people with inside information are throwing out. Come on, guys. Mike Bobo? Do you owe him a favor? Is he one of your sources from other schools?
So you're trying to get him a raise. Is that the plan?
Mike Bobo?
Gotta be a kickback, right?
Because Terry Fair's there, so they might have an in with Terry Fair, who's saying, "Hey, float."
Terry Fair called VolQuest.
I want to come back to Tennessee. Tell him that Mike Bobo is interested. Mike Bobo. Yeah, the last Colorado State hire for the SEC has gone great.
I know. They love
Jim McElwain at Florida. Love Mike Bobo.
How many guys could you rank ahead of him?
All of them. All the guys.
Like about 85, right?
Guys being dudes. All of the guys and dudes.
Would you take Butch Jones over Mike Bobo?
No, because he's different. Like, I'm done. If it was one or the other, like, give me Mike Bobo.
Yeah.
I mean, but maybe that's it. That might be it.
Where
I would take George Quarles over Mike Bobo.
Quarles would come. He would. I can. I got.
He would
a,
crawl on his hands and knees.
I got a guy that can go ask him at Furman's practice today if you want me to.
Mike Bobo. Oh my! What are we doing?
It'd be like Georgia hiring Randy Sanders.
It'd actually be. I just. We're done. We can't talk about Bobo. We gotta move on. Mike Bobo. We had to shut the station down. No one would care.
That's true.
Like, everyone That's would true. Be done.
We just
it would be over. Like, just turn Nealon into, like, we'd have to just pick up soccer. Like, because that's the only thing we could ever be good at again. Mm-hmm. Mike Bobo?
Bring back Lane Kiffin or something. I mean, anyone.
Oh, 10 times out of 10 over Mike Bobo, I bring back Lane Kiffin.
He would take the job in a heartbeat. He'd love it.
He'd work so hard this time
around.
I
know. What a redemption story. That'd Would that not great. Be the ultimate American redemption story? Silver Spoon Lane Kiffin learns his lessons the hard way.
If people are saying, James Franklin, you got think about the bargain you could get for Lane Kiffin.
Lane
right
Kiffin
now.
Versus Nick Saban in the 2020
Kiffin,
SEC championship
Lane Kiffin,
game.
$3 million. Give him a staff salary of like 10. Say, go get the best
staff. You got to offer him enough so he can pay his wife all the money she needs for all that
stuff.
She
just gets half.
Whatever. Maybe he'd take less. He doesn't care. Mike Bobo. Ugh. We'll kick off hour number three next.
No!